Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 27. Well, the last chapter ended with the death of Uzziah, or Uzi for short. Uzis were little guns, and this is a little chapter. In fact, it's so small, it would take you less than 2 minutes to read it. So why don't we? Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Remember, big book of Bible baby names. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all his father Uzziah had done, except he did not enter the temple of the Lord. But the people still followed corrupt practices. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord and did much building on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the hill country of Judah and forts and towers on the wooded hills. He fought with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the Ammonites gave him that year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 cores of wheat and 10,000 of barley. The Ammonites paid him the same amount in the second and third years. So Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz his son reigned in his place. Did you catch it? Did you catch that Jotham, the son of Uzziah, refused to enter the temple of the Lord? That means that Jotham had learned what his father had not, the fear of God. Now you might think, hey, that's not good. We don't want to fear God. But there are different usages of that word in the Bible. There's a very real sense in which fear is a healthy thing. For example, you probably fear dying a painful, horrible death, and that may keep you from doing horribly stupid things, like picking up hot coals in your hands around a campfire and saying, look at me, I'm on fire, ha ha ha. No, fear serves a healthy purpose. Maybe you're afraid of hurting the ones you love, like your parents, or bringing shame to your family. Those are all good restraining types of fear. But there's also another type of fear, the one that the Bible tells us not to have of God, and that's to be terrified. It means being so afraid of something that you go the opposite direction. That fear actually keeps you away from the object of your fear. Now, perhaps Jotham had a little of both. He obviously had a healthy fear of God, but perhaps he also had a craven fear, a fear that crippled his relationship with God. Do you have that? You know, 1 John tells us that perfect love casts out fear. And in the context, John talks about our sin, that we know that we have his love perfected in us, that we do not sin. Now, interesting about that, you and I both know that we will continue to sin. As one man said, the gospel teaches us not that we become sinless on this side of heaven, but that we sin less. But when we do sin, we're to confess it. That's why the Bible says, he who says he has no sin lies to himself. The truth is not in him. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us. But when 1 John talks about us being at peace in front of God, he knows that sin often disrupts it like a wrench in the gears. Therefore, he says, this is how we know. This is how we know that the love of God has been perfected among us. That means God's love to you has been perfected. That you know how much God loves you. You're beginning to grasp that. And it's beginning to give you a hatred for the things that he hates and a love for the things that he loves. Therefore, when his love is perfected in you, you sin less. And that's where John says that perfect love casts out all fear. The fear of punishment, the fear of judgment. Believer, that's something you never have to fear. You never have to fear God judging you, and that is because he exhausted his wrath on his son on the cross, who cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that you would never have to. Now, if you've ever read the book of Hebrews, Hebrews can be a little bit of a scary book. I mean, it's got a lot of warnings. For example, it talks about trampling the Son of God underfoot. In other words, that's treating his sacrifice and him dying for our sins as if it were some just cheap, worthless gesture on his part that we should just shrug our shoulders to. Jesus died for me to cover my sins. And Hebrews warns us that our hearts will become hardened if we begin to look at sin as a light thing. I don't know about you, but that's a good kind of fear. The fear that my heart might become so hardened by sin if I entertain it, that I myself begin to change so that I don't end up being the same person that started out this journey. Now, I hope in some ways I'm somebody who's not the same person. The same Peyton that started out this journey should not be the same Peyton that ends this journey. But the Peyton that ends this journey ought to be more fearful of sin and its effects because wisdom has been gained. And by the way, that's the kind of fear that the Bible talks about and commends. For we hear in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's the right kind of fear, the restraining type of fear, the type of fear that says, man, I don't want to screw my life up. I don't want to hurt the people I love. I don't want my wife to be destroyed because I have hurt her and wounded her heart so deeply. I don't want my children to lose all respect for men because I can't be a man who fears God and walks humbly before him and fears those types of things. That's the kind of fear that keeps me from jumping off roller coasters. That's the kind of fear that keeps me from taking a pair of scissors with me on a bungee jump. You see, it's very different than being afraid of God. Being afraid of God? Never. God is the one who more than anyone sees my sin and the horrible depths of it and loves me anyways. In fact, not just accepts me with indifference or even reluctantly, but is passionately, madly in love with me despite my sin. He is the love, as the hymn says, that will never let you go. Why am I telling you this? Because this is how love is perfected in you. To look at the love of God and all of its power causes you to run from sin. It's not the opposite. Being scared out of sin will never get you to sin less. Instead, it has to be the love of God. Perfect love casts out the fear of God himself. How can I be afraid of a God who loves me perfectly? Read 2 Chronicles chapter 27 today, and as you do, marvel at the love of God.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.